It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Welcome back, my friends, to another episode of Horror 101, where we're educating your fears. I'm your host, Cash Wampum, just getting over a chest cold as I record this, so please forgive the Darth Vader impression. What do we have for you on this 31st podcast? Well, our good friend Blake the Voice Hellheart just turned 40 the other day, so for his birthday, I offered him the choice of the movie we were going to discuss this time around. There was only one rule. It had to be epic. And for a time, he was considering Cannibal Holocaust.
I told Blake, I said, you're turning 40, okay? It's your birthday coming up. We got a 31st show we got to record. So for your...
You're not 40. Fuck you.
Just turned 40.
I turned 40 yesterday.
I look older than you.
Yeah,
that's
you do.
Fucking sad.
Yeah, but you popped out of your mom when you were 50.
This is true.
You did.
That's what we say.
With a cigar in one hand and a brandy in the other.
And yelling at kids to get off your fucking lawn.
No, that's right. Who are all these people? Get off my lawn.
So I told Blake, I'm like, okay, it's your birthday. You've been involved in the show. You like epic horror. You pick which movie. And you know what? He was fooling around with going with Cannibal Holocaust. And, you know, secretly,
I'm
glad that you didn't. I was set up
well,
for it.
You know what? Here's the thing.
I thought you were going to pick Reanimator because we haven't done it yet.
I don't think Brian Stewart would be able to sit through that one very comfortably.
It's a difficult movie.
I'd have to cover my eyes.
But it's fun. It's epic.
It's fun.
It's a wonderful film. It's really well done. But that being said.
Yeah, it is. It's got some scenes that are tough to watch because you know that certain elements of it are, like, legit.
Cannibal Holocaust, it kind of sticks with you because it's genuine.
Well, how about Sallow?
Sallow's pretty fucked up.
You'll spend a lot of time with Cannibal Holocaust watching it going, is that real? Is that the part that's real?
Yeah, it
he went to Italian court, didn't he? Because they thought he'd actually killed his
actors. He had to produce the actors after the fact.
The actors were told to go on a hiatus after the movie was done. They, like, lay low for a little bit as a joke for people to think that it was real. Right. And sure enough, people bought it because it looked like snuff.
It did.
You know, at some point, but the candle, well, like,
goodness, was that the, it's just coming, it's like going up the, you know, upper crotch and out her mouth, like the, she's impaled.
The only thing that's stopping her from falling further is her teeth digging into the backside of the pointy thing of the pole.
Well said.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's fucked.
Yeah.
That's like anime.
But that
it's
was
like hentai, man.
But that was legit because it was an actress with a fucking thing in her mouth and, like, mounted up on this thing. But it looked so real.
Wow.
Because she wasn't moving.
It was found footage, like, more than a decade before found footage was popular.
Cannibal Holocaust might become a show one day, you never know. It's certainly a worthy addition to our campaign of terror. But in the end, Blake decided on a film that we had been wanting to showcase for quite some time now. It's had a strong cult following for over 20 years. After 30 shows, we are finally unlocking the Clive Barker vault. Tonight, the world-famous Brian Stewart, Blake the Voice Hellheart, the macabre Todd Gervais, and myself are dissecting Barker's brilliant dark fantasy, Nightbreed.
You know he's gonna be pissed that we're doing Nightbreed.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if Paul B is upset about it, but
we'll
I mean, he is
China.
In China,
Monsieur Butter.
In 1987, we here in North America were introduced to the awesome dark genius of Clive Barker and his fantastically macabre world of Cenobites and pain.
I mean, Hellraiser in 1987, he came out of fucking nowhere, that guy.
Well, and the first two were phenomenal.
Well,
the third was fun, but yet, you know...
Yeah, you have to know that the Barker got his start, got the attention, and got the budget to make the movie because of King's response to his Books of Blood.
Books of Blood were good.
King was introduced to his writing and was asked to write
foreword, I remember.
Yes, a foreword for the North American printing of the first volume of the Books of Blood. And so what King said, it was, you see it paraphrased a lot, is, I've seen the future of horror, and it is Clive Barker.
Yeah, I remember seeing that all over the place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that launched... Clive Barker into preeminence in, I guess, in the United States, made people aware of what he was doing.
And after the success of Hellraiser, Clive Barker's tenure in horror was solidified. So you fast forward a few years later, and suddenly we see a trailer for another Barker pick, a surreal dark fantasy called Nightbreed.
Does anybody remember... I remember the first time they saw Nightbreed.
I saw this at a... we were in Florida on a vacation with the family. And like most kids on vacation, we were excited mostly because we were going to Disney World, but also extremely excited because the hotel had HBO.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time I'd ever seen it. It was late night. My brother and I were watching it. The only thing I remember was being absolutely fascinated by that woman demon who could turn into smoke. People would breathe her in and she'd reform.
Yeah.
I thought that was so badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that before.
I saw the film Downtown Windsor at the Palace Theater. I think it was Cinema 3 at the time. Mm-hmm. And what strikes me most clearly about the film was, first of all, I had just kind of started dabbling into Clive Barker's writing. And went out to see this film. It was the first of his films I saw, even before Hellraiser.
Really?
Yeah, I saw Hellraiser because of Nightbreed. Yeah, when we left the theater, okay, anyone want to make a ghost noise for me? There was a lunar eclipse that night. Ooh. And I hadn't heard about it. I saw it happen, and I was like, ooh.
I think the first time I saw it would have been on VHS. It was a video store special, because that was the thing that me and a bunch of my buddies did, was we would rent anything we could get our hands on horror. And at that time, it was a lot of the Full Moon videos, because that was, you know, you would... They had 1,000 of those, right?
Yeah.
But we had seen Hellraiser, and Hellraiser had kind of blown us away, and the tone of Hellraiser was the kind of thing that we wanted to see. We were like, this is a nasty movie. You know, and Clive Barker's clearly got fucking crazy stuff going on in his head.
Yeah.
This is a guy... So this movie's going to be good. I know it's going to be good.
Yeah. Nightbreed was 1990. I'd already seen Hellraiser a couple years before. And Hellraiser blew my fucking mind.
Blew everybody's mind.
But this was 1990. This was the same year as Exorcist 3. Now, Exorcist 3 was AA-14, if you remember.
That was the same year as Silence of the Lambs.
And I was 14 that year, so I could see Exorcist 3. But if I remember correctly, Nightbreed was R. And nobody under 18 in Canada is going to the theater and watching an R-rated film. Not unless you sneak in, and that's very seldom. You know, there's none of this, find some... adult in the line, right, and give him your money and say, yes, I am with you, and buy my ticket, please. You can't do that in Canada. So I had to wait for this one for VHS, and I had to rent it. So I rented it just like this guy.
At the beginning of Nightbreed, we are introduced to a man named Aaron Boone, whose psychiatrist, Dr. Decker, is trying to frame for several murders that have been committed over the last year. Murders that the good doctor has performed himself.
So you think I did this?
6 families killed in 10 months, Aaron.
Oh, God. So what am I going to do?
You've got 24 hours to go to the police and tell them the truth. And that's all I can give you.
Dr. Decker is played by Canadian filmmaker David Cronenberg. This is the man who directed the remake of The Fly, Scanners, Rabbit, Videodrome, Dead Ringers, the list goes on. And here he is playing this soft-spoken and vicious serial killer.
And I loved, like, David Cronenberg was the best part of it for me at the time.
He was wonderful. I've watched the movie since, and now that I'm perhaps a little less geeked by the overall story and a little more critical, you know, looking at it with more sober eyes, perhaps you could say, Cronenberg was not the best actor on planet Earth. But I gotta say, the Decker character was built for him.
He owns Decker. He is Decker.
Yeah, no question about
it. You know, like, even reading the book after seeing the film, it was so easy to have him be that guy in my head. You know, he was perfect. And the fact that he's not, like, an actor, he's, like, acting's like a side gig for him. You know, it was amazing.
We'll get back to Decker later. Let's focus on Boone. This guy's been dreaming of a place called Midian, an underground city filled with monsters where he feels he can seek refuge. Now that he's on the run and thinks he's a killer, he soon finds out that the place is real, and after getting there, it's not as welcoming as he once thought it might be.
Move and I'll slit your throat!
You got him!
I got him. Holy shit. Are you from Midian? We should take him alone, Pelequin!
He's not Nightbreed. He's natural.
No. I've killed people. I'm like you, that's why I'm here.
Shut the fuck up. You're meat.
If we eat him, we break the law.
Fuck the law. I want meat.
This badass Nightbreed called Pelequin sinks his teeth into Boone and ends up transforming him into one of the breed himself. He's accepted into Midian, an underground world full of monsters who have been hiding in secret for ages from their worst enemy, man.
The production design was phenomenal.
Oh yeah, I mean lots of different costumes,
creature design.
I used to have a beautiful full color coffee table edition, which had the photos of each and every one of the denizens of Midian, plus the major human characters who came in. And a backstory for each and every one of them, and it was written by Clive Barker.
The thing about Nightbreed, you know, the most fairy tales are for children, and you look at a movie like Labyrinth
or Pan's
with
Labyrinth.
Jennifer Connelly, and Labyrinth is more of a fairy tale for, say, adolescents.
Yep.
Nightbreed is a fairy tale for adults. That's the way I look at this.
And you know what? I'll tell you something. Being an avid reader of Clive Barker, that's his gift. He writes adult fairy tales.
You still don't understand. You're below now, with the Nightbreed. You call us monsters, but when you dream of flying and changing and living without death. You envy us, and what do you envy?
We destroy.
Clive Barker's books, all of them, are about desire. Every single one of them. The entire fantasy aspect of Midian and the Nightbreed, they say it openly in film, that, you know, we are what the humans dream to be. And, you know, it comes back to this concept of forbidden or unreachable desire.
It was funny when she said that you all envy us, and I'm like, there's a few things there I would not envy in the slightest.
That big pile of shit sitting on the floor with the head. I'm looking at that going, you got a bad card in your hand, sir. That, you know, but who knows? Maybe he lives in Euphoria. There's probably a backstory for him.
That one with the really long neck that went down and had the head was down where
on his belly. His head was resting on his belly.
Yep.
You know that guy's sucking his own dick any chance he gets.
It was a midget with an enormous foam suit on. All of the practical effects in this and all of the appliances are as good as you would have seen in any big Hollywood film of that era.
You're natural. That means you're meat for the beast.
The guy who bites Boone, what's the name?
Pelequin.
Pelequin. The only thing that bothered me, and I didn't notice it the first time, and I think maybe because it's a high-def television, maybe, I don't know, but I didn't care for the makeup job on him when he stepped into the more lighted areas. It really looked kind of just speckled on.
I really liked him, actually.
I liked him. I liked the look, but up close, that makeup did not look very good.
Hmm. Well, I think a lot of that is that now, here we are, 20 plus years later, and we've been fucking spoiled, man.
You get to see where they just kind of sponged on hastily.
We have seen the greatest makeup and non-makeup effects of ever.
Remember me, Doctor? I was dying when you had your way with me. You made me give up my secrets when I was feeling particularly vulnerable.
Narcisse. Every line he delivers like, from the point where he tears his face off on is classic. You could cut out every single one of his lines and find a spot for it in this podcast. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I probably could.
Where is he? Where's Boone?
Self reach through the door.
I love a coward.
And what I liked about this too is not only were there neat creatures, but it showed you them.
Yeah. You know?
Wasn't like a...
Yeah, it didn't hide much.
No. So out of all the ones you saw, which one did each of you find most impressive?
Oh, we all knew this was coming.
I liked the lady with the boobs.
The air girl?
Yeah.
Well, she was solid. At least we got a sense of her character, though. Her sense of compassion. We got to see her as somebody protecting.
A mother, yeah.
Yeah, and yet... unfortunately boobs. Able to murder somebody with her bare hands.
And yet boobs.
Yes, that too.
And boobs, yes.
With Nightbreed, Mr. Barker changes the rules. The monsters in Midian are the good guys. It's the regular people who are the evil ones. The blind hatred of those who are different has driven the breed underground, and now they have Decker on their tail, and his hatred for the breed is relentless. The fucker leaves a trail of bodies leading straight to Midian, claiming his patient at large is behind it all. Local authorities can't ignore this. And unfortunately for Midian, they're within the jurisdiction of a real asshole, Captain Eigerman.
You are a freak and a cannibal, and you've come to the wrong town.
And he's got, you can tell he's got small man syndrome, you know what I mean?
They cast very well. Those glasses set it off.
They pick somebody who you can tell has small man syndrome, because, okay, yeah, this is my town, and this is my station, and this is my army, and people, not one step back!
Whether it's commies, freaks, or third world Y chromosome mutants, we are their sons of the free.
This very small town sheriff, right?
Apparently you can just form a militia at will, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. It was
a bunch of hillbillies and just deputize them,
the
way you go.
Very much pandering to those American ideals.
Oh, yes.
And showing a version of Canada that very much lined up with the southern United States and how things are dealt with there, like the rednecks with the machine guns and that kind of thing, but
due process is right out the fucking window.
Yeah. But you know, in small town backwoods Canada, it's not out of the ordinary to think that you could have, you know, communities that are at least somewhat like that.
Oh, did we mention that Nightbreed was set in Alberta, Canada? This is not lost on the macabre Todd Gervais.
It was a freaking Canadian film!
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was so awesome. I mean, Canada was so ignored by Hollywood. So an entire film that took place with Canadian characters in Canada, they're even flashing Canadian dollars in the bar and stuff.
Sure.
That was awesome. Now, I know it's probably a totally lost footnote, but I just wanted to share.
Hey, I remember that being a big deal. I remember
Pilgrim.
There was a lot of angles on that, the whole Canadian thing for that at the time.
And even still, like most movies shot in Canada is usually BC or Toronto, right? Usually. This was shot out west.
Montreal and Alberta.
I thought it was Alberta.
It takes place in Alberta, but I was saying that Montreal's another common.
Well, here's a side note. Canada's film industry actually began in BC. Mm-hmm. Started way back in the early days because there was an actual... what they had to do, there was a ratio. A law was actually put into place in the Canadian cinemas that there had to be so many Canadian films made in ratio to so many American films to stop, you know, the influence of American culture. What they started doing, and because Victoria was the closest possible border city to Hollywood, that's where they set up their first studios. Yeah,
right.
And they started putting out what were called quota quickies, like stupid little serial films about Mounties saving women from being kidnapped by the Courier de Bois and raped by, you know, Indians. Really silly stuff. But
yeah, the tradition of Canadian films.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were mostly about.
Dudley Do-Right bullshit.
But that's where the film industry began. It was actually on the West Coast.
Quite a dance, huh? Death everywhere and you and me in the middle.
So Decker and his army descend on the tombs of Midian. Boone becomes this prophetic savior character, and the finale of the film is packed solid with tons of action, gore, and pyrotechnics galore as the breed fight off the onslaught of the naturals. But for as much as the film gives you, there seems to be a lot missing. Nightbreed is only 100 minutes, but the story trying to be told is much greater than that time frame can allow. There are so many interesting characters that need to be experienced further, so many unanswered questions, and segments that seem to go into fast forward, This is where we get into what went wrong with Nightbreed's release, and the possible correction that might just be right on the horizon.
So apparently the head of marketing at Morgan Creek never watched the movie all the way through because it disgusted and distressed him. The studio did not understand it. It had no movie stars, it was violent, elements of fantasy and horror which they saw as weakness. Yeah, they ended up marketing it as a slasher film.
Yeah, it probably would have been better on a lower budget with Full Moon making it.
Obviously, it would have been better on it with a different studio in charge.
Yeah. Well, here you go. The trailer was sent to the MPAA, and it was rejected 12 times. They forbid any monster footage, and it was cut down to someone being terrorized with a razor, which constituted only 5 minutes of Barker's film.
In the end, 40 minutes of the film was taken out. The marketing campaign for Morgan Creek pitched the film as a generic slasher, and although the Decker character does offer that kind of experience, Nightbreed was grossly mistreated before its release, and for this reason, it was initially a commercial failure.
The budget for this film was $11
million. $11
million? Wow.
The box office was $8 million.
Oh, yeah, it didn't make its money.
She tanked hard.
And I think that's one of the reasons why this film
is
not on Blu-ray.
But all is not lost. For years, there were rumors of the cut footage being found by Barker's associates, and permission was given for them to re-edit Nightbreed into a much fuller 140-minute version of itself. The project has been ongoing for years now, and finally, nearly 25 years later, the extended cabal cut of Nightbreed has been assembled. It's been making its limited release at festivals around the nation, and we know someone who's seen it. Please welcome back to Horror 101, once again, the Son of Celluloid.
Son of Celluloid! Son of Celluloid!
Basically what it was, they were telling the story before. All the stuff that they added in was found on an old VHS behind some books in Clive Barker's office. So what they did was, they took it, and they spliced all the footage that isn't in the theatrical cut into the theatrical cut, so the video quality varied widely.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie, have you seen the Cabal cut?
I have not.
It is absolutely amazing.
Really?
It's mind-blowing. Nightbreed has always been one of my favorite Clive Barker flicks, but it now rivals the Hellraiser flicks for the top. It's the original cut of the film. It's the film that Clive Barker delivered to the studio before they butchered it. So it is the finished, the effects are complete, everything's good. It just looks like it's from a sixth generation VHS.
Now,
it looks really rough.
Will they be able to polish it up for like a real release, or is that all you're ever going to get?
Well, I'm not sure just how good they'll be able to get it, but what I'm told is they'll definitely be able to get it better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll definitely be watchable, because it was, at times it was kind of hard to tell what was going on in a couple of the shots. But once they clean it up, I think that movie is that's my most anticipated DVD release of this year.
The awesome people at Shout Factory have announced the Cabal cut will be released on DVD and Blu-ray later this year. We can't wait to get our hands on it and finally get the bigger picture that Clive Barker wanted to deliver. But for now, it's time for us to score the version that we've known and loved for all these years.
I think for me, my heart says 8, my head says 7.5. It's in that ballpark, though. I think it's no stretch perfect because, again, it was sloppily butchered in the 11th hour, and I think we could have gotten more, and I wish I had seen more, and I think it's probably going to be an 8 for me. It could have been a 10 if they had given me what I wanted, but there's too much not there that I wish was.
What the hell are you trying to do to me? I don't understand what the hell is going on around here. Now, how many bullets did they pull out of that geek up in Midian?
Are you saying he's dead?
Not lying down dead, my friend. Walking around in my fucking cell dead. Well, what do you got to say about that?
16-year-old me thought it was a 10. The 40-year-old me thinks it's an 8. I'm with you on that. Like, it held up phenomenally over the course of almost 25 years. Like, this movie's held up phenomenally.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that I can see the matte paintings, and I can see some of the elements that are not real, and I can still be like, wow, that's awesome. Like, it's almost a lost art now.
Yeah.
Because everything's so digitally painted in there. But it hits on all the right places. It makes me feel good to watch it. There's no part that makes me feel uncomfortable. It's a solid 8. Like, I don't have no problem giving it an 8, and you know, there's part of me that would like to give it more, but you know, like you said, we're missing too much. There needs to be a little bit more there.
I was born to destroy Boom and the Breed together.
You're crazy.
No, I'm Death. Plain and simple.
Macabre Todd Jurley.
I'll hitch my horse on with the rest and say 8. Like has been said, there's a lot missing in terms of the film itself. That being said, I filled in a lot of those holes by reading the comic books and the graphic novels, having read the original novel. It was a little bit shocking how much of the story I know that wasn't actually in the movie. I'd forgotten how much I had to glean from outside sources. Like, it's a very solid 8.
And here's the thing, is that the novella's not that big of a read, mm-hmm. and it's a great read. And
if anybody has the opportunity, yeah, I'd definitely recommend they give it a read. You know, like any... If you see Clive Barker on the title, you will not waste your time if you want to pick it up and read it. If you want pure horror, stick more to his books of blood stuff. If something like Cabal or Nightbreed fascinates you, this concept of dark fairy tale, this horrific but fantasy kind of world, then his full-length novels like Great and Secret Show and so on will be right up your alley.
Everything's true. God's an astronaut. Oz is over the rainbow. Midian's where the monsters live.
I think for the first time in Horror 101 history, we're all unanimous on the score. Because I was going to give it an 8 even before you said something, and it went 8 across the board. I really liked it, and like everybody said, 20 years later, I'm in awe, because I had forgotten most of the Nightbreed itself. I really like when she goes through the chambers, all the different costumes that you see, all tactile effects. Like, a lot of people put hours and hours and days of time in one of dozens of different characters that fly by the camera just on a whim, you know. Like, it was fantastic. My only problem, like, I love Decker, I love the slasher element. I love the Nightbreed. Narcisse is great. Lylesburg's kind of annoying, but I liked him. And the fact that it's Doug Bradley who played Pinhead is kind of like nostalgic for me. My biggest problem with this film, I think, is the fact that Boone is this larger-than-life character that I really should like, but I don't. You know, like, I find the parts where Boone's in it to be the softer points of the movie, where I'm like, let's get on with it. Give me more Pelequin. Give me more Narcisse. Give me Decker back. I don't want this Boone character. And it's sad because he's supposed to be this larger-than-life prophetic character that's supposed to change everything, you know? And it's almost like, you know, what would Star Wars be like if I really didn't give a shit about Luke Skywalker at all?
But I think we can all agree that he's somewhat inconsequential for the most part, and yet it still doesn't affect the fact that we all gave this movie an 8 out of 10 because we love the movie.
Yeah.
You'll come back now, you hear?
And that ends our show on Nightbreed. Clive Barker has given us an imaginative fantasy filled with monsters both terrible and beautiful. Nightbreed is a Canadian film with an awesome score by Danny Elfman. The creature effects are phenomenal. The cast is excellent, particularly our friend David Cronenberg as the lethal Dr. Decker. We've got the Cabal cut to look forward to later this year. We want to thank our friend, the Son of Celluloid, for joining us again and letting us know that we won't be disappointed once the Cabal cut gets here. We can't wait. Be sure to friend us on Facebook. Search for the Horror 101 group. Visit us at horror101.ca. And remember, you can subscribe to this show via iTunes or Stitcher. For the birthday boy, Blake the Voice Hellheart, the world-famous Brian Stewart, and the macabre Todd Gervais, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just for you, and we're going to help you find it right here on Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.